All right, guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat. I'm your host, Rob from Robbie Rise Reviews, as always. You'll notice no Logan down there tonight, so I'm running solo, so bear with me. Running all the tech stuff on the same time. We've got Eddie Tarazona, Tarazona Cigars, and Cubanacan Cigars. I always say that wrong, because I'm off to a good start. Eddie, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, again, I'm running the chat room here, and see, I take Logan for granted. So I'm running the chat room, and I'm running the video here. So
don't know what you got.
Always take Logan for granted. But anyway, give us, we'll do the kind of standard start. You've been on the show before, but we've got, maybe we have some people who are watching now that weren't watching in the past. They might not be familiar with Tarazona Cigars or Cubanacan. Give us a little bit of background just on Tarazona yourself and the lines and everything that you've got going on.
Well, about, let's see, somewhere in 2000, so 10 years ago, going on 11 years, I lost my job. Okay. And it was my first job out of college, so it was the only job I really had. But I had made a commitment that they controlled everything in my life. It was with Ferguson Enterprises, management, large companies, so you do what they say, they pay you all this money. It is what it is. Corporate America. Mm-hmm. Well, they wanted me to move to a very, very small town in Florida, which was, I mean, it was in Florida, but it was closer to home, but North Cocoa Beach. And I said, that's it. Not doing it. So just too small. And I told them no. They said, you've got 2 weeks. I said, okay. They gave me an 8-month severance package, and I used everything they gave me because I made a commitment. I'll never work for anybody again. Well, I don't want to work for anybody again. And I took that money, went back home, started hanging out with friends in the industry, learning, got paired up with Robert and his brother Carlos because they had a factory. They said, hey, look, we got a factory. You want to buy in and this and that? And I'm like, you know what? As a matter of fact, I do. So it just went from there, and we just started working, developing, and here we are today. I guess fast forward. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of doors shut. Retailers cross country, when they don't really know you at first, it's pretty tough. Even if they do know you, it's pretty tough. But you just stick with it. I guess quitting or just accept no isn't. I just want to tell any retailers out there, anybody, if you tell me no, that's not how I was raised. Okay, I'm gonna go at it, and we just keep on. But that's really where it all started, because I lost a job, about a decade ago. Tarazona Cigars, of course, our factory, Cubanacan, which is our new line that was released at last year's show, namesake. Cubanacan is found down in Estelí, Nicaragua. Of course, our offices and our headquarters are in Miami, Florida, where I'm from, and. Let's see. We have, five different lines? No, I'm just saying, you just think, for me, it's just everyday stuff. I'm like, hey, dude, okay, but trying to explain it to everybody. We've got five lines, actually a sixth line, not announce it here. I was actually saving it for this, I would have told y'all, but next month, okay, and it's been a lot, our shops are already know, a lot of our shops already know. We're actually releasing the Cubanacan Maduro. Okay, which is actually, it's going to be a part. I'm not always one on stronger cigars, but a lot of our customers, if you've tried the 305, it's a heavy cigar. Don't get me wrong. There you go. All right. It's a full bodied cigar, but to say that it's strong, it is not.
I would agree.
Actually, on the Cubanacan Maduro that's coming out next month, it will actually be strong. Where that 305 you're smoking right there, mm-hmm. still going to be more full-bodied, and the Cubanacan will be a Maduro, heavy, the same thing, but stronger because of the head oil and just the balance that we have in there. We had it on a previous blend, but we've been sitting on it for so long, and we thought it was right about that time. Okay. To finally start, come out with a line like that. And we're almost sold out of all of them across the country with the Maduro. I was speaking with, for the DC tweet up this weekend, of course. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with Brett, Fry over at Tabacology, And it's funny, he almost, just to make sure, you do have me down for those Maduros coming out, right? I just want to make sure I'm on the list, right? I'm like, dude, don't worry. I could just put him down. I know what he wants. I know the Vitolas he needs. And so I go, rest assured, Brett, you're squared away. You don't have to worry. But, so like I said, we do have our factory down there and we're headquartered out of Miami, Florida. I do a lot of traveling. Okay, Lawrence, we do a lot of that. We're just a small boutique company, and I like it that way. Honest, you know, we get asked all the time, don't you want to be this big? In name recognition, that's not, for me, that's nice, that's great, but to be how big? You know, what's big for somebody? For me, I don't need to be in every store in every corner. I'm a boutique. I know what I am, and I really like that. Another thing is, with all the travel and getting all the shops, I really love the travel. So if we had way too many, wow, we really wouldn't have a life. I really don't already. So
now, how often are you on the road?
Oh, I'd say wintertime. So the first, I will break it down in quarters. When it comes to the first quarter of the year, probably about 50% of the time of those 3 months. So it's always half weeks. As it starts getting into the spring, probably about add another day or so, and I try to take a week's time off of there within there for family.
Sure. Okay?
So it is a balance. But the planning goes in. I mean, there's a lot of planning. You make sure that, you know, okay, we got all this squared away. So probably say, so if we really look at it, and then the summertime, of course, completely busy. You've got the trade show, then we've got all these, whether it's a tweet up or a big event happening. So that's completely busy. I'd say I'm probably back home 2 days for the week, 2.5 days, sometimes a half day. I mean, all depends on what's going on. Sure. And so get back on the road, but I always try to make sure I get back home. And then there's football season for us, mm-hmm. in the sense where once fall hits, our schedule really, this sure. year, okay, this will be the last year. I say thank goodness in the sense of how thin it, you know, stretches us out, but bittersweet because Logan's last year in college, okay, for college ball. But I'd have to say every weekend throughout football season, I mean, I do not spend, except for bye week, and so except for bye week, and not even Thanksgiving weekend because that's the UVA Virginia Tech game.
Oh man,
always. And I guess the weekends through December until the bowl game, if they make a bowl game. So that's a lot of time. So all our shops know across the country, if you want an event or you want to do some during fall, look at Virginia Tech's football schedule because that's all you've got. So I could almost assure you when we go up to play Boston College, we're either going to be at Kirk Kendall's place, Eric's place, maybe even as far north as Laconia, but get it and then off to Chestnut Hill for the game and back on the road, head on south. It's fun though. It really is.
So this is Logan's senior year, correct?
It is his he's a redshirt senior, his fifth year, and he's going into his third year coaching, his third year at quarterbacking for Virginia Tech, and he could have entered the draft this year. Some say yay, some say nay. Of course, I'm a little bit biased, but I pay attention to my friends in the NFL that would say, yeah, he would have been a first rounder. I believe so too. But his decision, he's a big boy, and that's what we raised him to do, make those hard decisions.
Yeah,
that's last year.
That's got to be tough. A tough call. I mean, like you said, you said he's an adult, and but I mean, 18, 19 years old to make a
– as a parent –
What's that?
As a parent, there is a selfish side to it.
Sure.
Where you say you get upset. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this or not. I mean, as a parent, I was a little bit upset at Virginia Tech. I was a little bit upset that it took so long to find a coach, you know, for the offensive coordinator. But at the end of the day, I trust Logan's judgment. So really, that doesn't even matter how I feel. Logan, you're here. These are the decisions you make. You know what's best for your future, your career, if you want to go to the next level, which would be crazy if he didn't. I mean, we all know that. But No, I trust Logan's judgment. I know he's not going to make it in haste. And, you know, the night before the deadline, he came to a conclusion he was going back to Virginia Tech. And, you know, either which way, we're going to support him. It's not was there a wrong decision there? You know, no, not really. I mean, you know, to each his own on that one.
So let's see. We've got some questions here. And again, I apologize. I'm double fisting, I would say. But we've got a bunch of questions lined up from last week that I'm going to go through. Some of our audience have posted.
Real quick, I do want to say congratulations. And I mean, I really shouldn't be saying this because it's a shock, but Liberty University, okay, my alma mater. I don't know how y'all made it to the dance with a 15-20 record, but congratulations. After that, I just want to say, let's go Canes. Go Canes in the dance.
You know, I actually used to work in college athletics, and I think you and I have talked about this before, but once I got out, I just don't pay attention anymore.
To
college basketball anyway. I'll still watch some college football, but college basketball for me, and I've never been a big basketball fan.
Right.
I don't really watch the NBA either, but
I've noticed with a lot of my friends that were in college. I mean, come from Miami. If you grew up in Miami, you know somebody that's coaching at the high ranks, or some, at least in college. Some, and a lot of my friends that have gone back and forth. You notice that lifestyle is so busy, okay, that you really can't pay attention to everything that's going on in athletic. You know, when you were at the University of Miami. Now let's just say in your case, you know, now you're with the Giants. I mean, you can't expect to, hey, did you see, did, I mean, you probably know more what's going on in baseball in your general area, okay, now. But really, with all the baseball teams across country and a ton of the great baseball teams, I love baseball season for college. It's awesome. I mean, I bet you, I don't know, you're so busy there at work. I look at it with cigars. I'd love to try more of the cigars that are out there. When people come to, hey, have you tried this? Hey, have you tried that? I'm like, dude. Do you know my schedule? I mean, I can't even enjoy my own cigar sometimes because it's so busy. So it's pretty much akin to that.
Exactly. You know? That's a pretty good analogy. I mean, it's there's a finite amount of time for everybody, and everybody's busy.
Yeah.
I've that's been one of my goals this year is to not use that as an excuse for not doing something or for being behind on something because I'm busy. But everybody's busy. So, but with that being said, you kind of have to prioritize what it is that you're going to keep up on, you know.
What I like,
especially when you come outside of your work environment.
What I do love about sports, and it's not so much sport per se. I mean, that's fun. That's why we go to the games and all. But the people you meet, it is no different for me than going up in a cigar shop. I mean, you guys, whether you're for the team, or the same team, or against, you're at a tailgate party. Meeting dude, you know, everybody starts having fun. Then I'll see you next week. And the week after, cigar shops the same way. I think that's, you know, sports, cigars, you know, things like that. I love it because you get to meet some unbelievable people.
Yeah.
You really do.
Let's see. So I want to go down some of these questions. and, you know, actually, I want to back up because you were talking about the Cubana Con Maduro, and that's coming out. You said next month?
Next month. Yep.
Now, you had mentioned when you were talking about that's going to be full body, like big, full power, full body, and you guys haven't done anything like that yet.
Right.
You had the blend, you've been kind of sitting on it for a while. What's the impetus behind a decision like that to come up with that blend and know that you like it, but I'm going to wait? But I'm going to wait on it.
We get asked that a lot. One of the things is, and every I think every company would probably say this, you know, we have our profiles. We know what we like about cigars. There was an interview either last year, 2 years ago, that Carlos and I both gave separately. Carlos is our master blender. He handles all that. But I gave an interview. I think it was Cigar, and it was somebody. And I go, really, to be honest with you, we approach things based off of flavor first. Not so much the characteristic. Not, I want a spicy cigar. I want a strong cigar. I want a semi-sweet or a woody. You know, I've never really approached things like that. For me, it's just the flavor. What's the flavor we get? Is it a good flavor? Okay, great. And I think for me, seeing things a wee bit old-fashioned, flavor. I really think, my opinion, okay, at the end of the day, for me, I put more importance in the flavor first. And let everything else fall where they may. Mm-hmm. I could care less where things fall after that. Flavor. If it's palatable, if it's good, you know, it's rich, it's appealing, you know, lures you in, that flavor, that's what I'm looking for. But I think once, maybe also changing a little bit, when I'm like thinking, okay, I'm done with flavor. I know we're going to have good flavor in our cigars. We already know that. Well, on this Maduro, I said, well, let's make it different because people know what they get with our cigars. Let's change it up a little bit. I got to be honest with you. For as well as we do with our brands, it was interesting when I started when Robert and I spoke about the blends and Carlos we came to this conclusion. I felt pretty good about it. I started telling my shops, well, they were excited. I mean, they love the cigar. Like the 305 is our most popular one. They love the flavor. It's rich. It's heavy. You know, it's a medium to medium full, not strong, because it's still going to smoke as a medium-bodied cigar. Overwhelming on the palate, depending on your palate. Okay, for some people, it may be they may consider it strong, but it really isn't. It's just the flavor. Okay, now take the Cubanacan Maduro. Okay, now we're going to put some oomph in it. But I think that's good too. I mean, I think, and it's a step away from us being, you know, complacent in what we always did. Okay, well, nothing wrong with it. I mean, let's just do it. Okay,
break out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, and our customers have been asking for it. So if we've got tons of blends for crying out loud. The whole thing is, you know, do you or, you know, I think more than anything, we have to have confidence in ourselves when we do this. Okay. Not so much customers hear what they say. Just do it, execute, go with it. So I really do think that that's going to do well. And as when we released the line, it came out in boxes of 50 across the board. We're actually going to have them in boxes of 10 also. So that's one thing we're going to be doing.
Now, are you doing that with all your lines or just this?
No, just starting off with the Cubanacan line, okay? We're going to start off with the Cubanacan Connecticut, which was we were very shocked when we launched the Cubanacan Connecticut. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of Connecticut because from a stereotypical standpoint.
Sure.
But when we added that Habano wrapper, okay, underneath that Connecticut wrapper, it was game over. I gotta tell you, I knew we had it. You know, Robert, come on, bro, Eddie, come on, we could do this. You know, just try it. I'm like, no, we're not gonna do it. And all of a sudden, I said, okay, let's give it a shot. And I tried it. I'm like, winner, you guys. You know, I relented for so long with Connecticut for years, and so we're gonna do it with it was so popular. But there are a few things. A count of 50, not many people are going to buy boxes of 50, but also shelf space. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is, cigar shops, okay, on average, or a lot of the ones we deal with, I can't speak for all of them, but a lot of cigar shops that we're in, they're doing very well, okay, and they need to expand their humidor, okay, and they've got a great selection, just the demand, so they're expanding their humidors. Our boxes of 50 are not going to sit comfortably on those shelves. So we've decided, hey, let's put a 10 count. Okay, we know they're going to sell. We know the cigar does well. Just give it to them. It's not a matter of even increments of the boxes. Okay, let's get it to shelf space.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting a box of 10 cigars out is a lot easier than getting rid of a box of 50. I mean, hey, look, I'm honest with people. Business is business.
Yeah, that's
okay?
True.
So, I mean, anybody out there, oh, so that's how they hook us in. Look. We're consumers. It happens every day. You know, one of those 10 counts I think will do well. And now the only thing I'm really trying to think about is what to do with the 50 count Chato box, the Petit Coronas. Okay, what kind of increments should we put, you know, that box, a 5 or 7 pack or something like that? We'll see. So otherwise, you know, because we have all the way up to what, 5 Vitolas, the Chato, the Rothschild, which of course is Robusto, the Pirámide, which is Torpedo, Torpedo for me, the Churchill, and the 6x60. Okay. And really, when you look at the price range in that line, it's not going to be too hard to move that product. It's everywhere from $4.30. Okay. And this is, we're talking about 15 different cigars. From $4.30 all the way up to, I think, what, $7.85. Okay, and these are double wrapped cigars. Not bad going up to a 6x60.
Yeah, those are good price points. For the, especially for the quality. I mean, I haven't smoked the Connecticut, but I did smoke those Habanos that, or one of the Habanos that you sent me, and that's a really good smoke. I really enjoyed it. A nice flavor. It was it had a nice balance. It was had kind of a creamy texture to it that caught me by surprise a little bit, but it still had a little bit of a kick, a little bit of spice. I really enjoyed it.
That right there, what I like about, maybe. I'm not saying it, and I'm joking around about this too. Maybe also growing up, you know, as being the poor college student, you know, not growing up with much, and then getting to college, can't afford cigars the way I want to and all. I've always been price conscious. And to be competitive out there on the market, we've got our customers, they buy a lot of our cigars. And I mean, everybody's cigars on a daily basis. You know, I bet you I could probably, if I were to go to Old Havana right now, kid you not, out in PA, right outside of Philly. I bet you I could probably stroll up in there and Bobby Hirschman is right there. I guarantee you. If he's there every day, he's spending money in there every day. Okay? So to think that I don't think about our consumers and what they spend, you know, you better believe I better think about that and remain competitive as part of it.
Okay? It's true.
So I want to give them the best quality product, okay, and not chance on the quality. Okay, or the, I was going to say ingredients, but the components of that cigar, while still remaining as competitive as possible, and that's one of the benefits of having, I mean, for us at least, having our own factory. So yeah. that does help out a great deal.
So we had a quick question here, and this was, just trying to pull this up from the chat room here. Cigar Arsonist, he's curious. This is the Maduro wrapper you're putting on the Cubanacan, what country is that from?
Ecuador.
So Ecuadorian Maduro. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that.
We've done a lot of Ecuadorian as of late, especially with the Cubanacan line. When we started the Cubanacan line, that was a focus. You know, a lot of Ecuadorian, of course, Nicaraguan filler. Okay, as always. But the double wrapper concept. Remember what I told you? Flavor always. We're always approaching by flavor. We know the flavor is going to be there with two wrappers like that and two good quality wraps. Now with the characters, I think we feel a little bit more comfortable now adding those characteristics, I guess a stereotype in a cigar. So, I mean, it's fun getting out of our comfort zone.
Yeah, for sure. So I've got a couple of questions that actually kind of fall into what we've been talking about. And these are posted by Mr. Bastard. he's a show regular. He always shows up every week. He says, I think this is a really good question, so I'm curious to see what your take is. He says, how much do market pressures force manufacturers to decide on what vitolas to market? Is there information gathered via word of mouth, or has there been some sort of, or do you guys do market research on the matter? Just kind of a standard thing, or?
That is a great question, and we're talking about it all the time. All right. Churchill's. Okay. I have such a disdain for Churchill's. Okay.
Why?
But I guarantee. I think Churchill's are just a boring vitola, just long, airy. I mean, that's just my opinion, okay? Yeah. And also, I don't care whose Churchill it is, okay? I don't care if it was the most popular cigar in the world, okay? I just have this disdain for Churchill's, but we have to make it, okay? You know, I go to Myrtle Beach, Chesapeake Cigars. Perfect example. At least where our vitolas are concerned, the two most popular selling cigars, okay, and out there on 6x60s and Churchill's. So you go to, so when I remember the, while back, so I, the first time I walked into Mike's, Mike Losel, the owner proprietor of Chesapeake Cigars, I walk in, I'd never seen so many Churchill's or like larger size cigars in my life, and I was disgusted. I mean, I was like, this is so perverse. I don't think I can. You know, and so I was like, I mean, really? And he goes, hey, these people love it. I mean, they just go. So we came out with the Cubanacans. I remember we sent a box of the Connecticut and Habano, and in 2 weeks, okay, 2 weeks, and everything we sent them, the 6x60s, gone. Now, at 6x6, I feel the same way about 6x6. These canoes just oh. So anyway, and so I'm in the cigar business. Okay, not just for me. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. Okay, but when after a while, you hear the consumer, give them what they want. I mean, they're the ones, I look at it like this, they're the ones putting food on my table. So, you know what? Oh, well. And when we hear trends like that, it's funny. People still say, oh, the 6x60, the trend of, how long have we been saying that now? The 6x60 trend?
4 years? 5 years?
Trends don't last that long. I do believe, in my opinion, okay, depending on the time of year or, you know, some particular market, 6x60, for me, it's not a trend in the sense anymore. It's not. Okay. If customers want, I mean, go with it. But at the end of the day, we really are here, you know, for them. They say, oh, that's so sweet. That's so nice. They're here for, no, really. Okay. What am I going to do with 2 million cigars, you know, made a year? How's it going to go? I mean, like, you know, get to the consumer. But really, I'd have to say to your question, more direct, okay, I know I'm going on, because it was a great question, okay, it really was, a lot. If your consumers speak, you know, especially, you know, we hear this when we go to shops, you should come out with this, you should come out with that. Excuse me, the dogs are running all around. Okay, so just, hey, excuse me, guys. Hold up.
Oh, you're fine. Go ahead.
Running all around. You really, that's very important to hear from our customers. Okay, because when we get across, you know, let's say we go to the Northeast, you know, during the wintertime, they're going to need all the petite Coronas they can.
That's funny.
Hey, so what's
true?
It's
true.
You're gonna smoke 6x60. Hey, how's that blizzard doing for you? Hey, no. But yeah, it plays a big role. Before I'm gonna be honest with you, I was a little bit arrogant, you know, earlier on. It maybe comes with age and experience and, you know, a little bit less bullheadedness. I was not gonna make the 6x60 come hell or high water. But it took a little bit of humbling, and it takes some humbling to say, you know what, Eddie? You're not doing this for you.
Yeah.
Okay. This has nothing to do with you. This has everything to do with what your customers are demanding. Okay. And so, as such, I mean, of course, I see it differently now, but give the consumer what they want. Now, there are some things that, I mean, granted, I mean, the numbers don't add up. But if the numbers add up, I will never argue with a customer on that one.
Now, with more of a specialized Vitola, like Lanceros and things of that nature, Lanceros are always popular. It's funny. It seems like the real big sticks are popular right now, and the Lanceros, a real small ring gauge. Can there be like an added cost? Because I know some of that stuff is harder to roll. You have to find particular rollers to do it. And at some point, it just becomes cost prohibitive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can depend on the size of the company. Or, you know, I could say it depends on the size of the company, okay? But I take that back. It depends on the size of the pocket of the company, okay? It could be a big company or a small company. Everybody's always looking at, everybody looks at their overhead. As you said, is it cost prohibitive or not? Do we have enough demand? Can you pull it off? So everybody is different. But it really does come down to, you know, it's got to be worthwhile for that company to do it, okay? And like I said, but you can't if you're going to every store and, I mean, 50% of those stores, you know, their customers saying, hey, why don't you come out with this? Why don't you come out with this? You know, you take a stab at it and go with it in hopes that you'll, you know, 50% of those store, you know, sell or whatever. So you just go with it. I mean, really, that's it.
Yeah.
But there is a cost, you know, depending on what size. I mean, could you imagine if I came out with a Perfecto line across the board? You know, so, you know, it's going to cost more in production. You know, you get the road, you know, train them. The whole. So there is a cost with, you know, specialty. And for me, they're not really specialty cigars. They're just cigars that need a little bit more, senior craftsmanship, okay, yeah, to them. So that's really what it comes down to, okay? And if you're going to make those cigars, your QC, quality control, excuse me, you want to make sure you've got that in place.
And, for sure. For sure, especially with some of those. So another question from Mr. Bassard. He gave us a bunch of good ones here. He says, Cubanacan seems to be an abandoned trademark that was refiled for. So that meaning Cubanacan was around, kind of went away, and now you've brought it back. So what's the impetus there to bring back that name?
It's just, truth be told, it's just an old Cuban word. Now, if you look it up, if you look it up online, you get like 3-4 different definitions. Okay.
So what's your definition?
I really don't care about the definition. I like the word. You know, that's the truth. I'm very. If people really hang out with me enough, I can get a little bit detailed and nerdy on some certain things. Okay, words mean things to me. You know, meanings, and I love figuring out the roots of words. Okay, and being multilingual. It's interesting. I'm always getting, I'll hear a word, English, Spanish, Italian, whatever, the roots of these words. So for me, words mean a lot more. But then there's some words I could care less. You know, Cubanacan, it's an indigenous word. You know, part of it, some people say, you know, it could be the fertile land or the center of, or whatever. You know what? I'm not going to argue with anybody. That word soul, I mean, it's an old Taino word. So the translation, until you could find me, you know, a source Taino, which it's not, I mean, probably not happen. I don't care. I mean, but I love the name. It's the name of our factory. And I mean, it's just there. And I like it because people always twist it up trying to say, so that's pretty cool. So that helps towards marketing.
Like me. Thank you. I appreciate that. So you say it's the name of your factory. Is that the name you gave your factory?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a given name, Cubanacan. And I mean,
it sounds a lot better when you say it, man.
I always joke around, Cuba a can, you know, I'll joke around about it, but really just Cubanacan. And I guess, well, I speak Spanish too growing up, so it just comes easy. Just like my last name. I mean, Tarazona is my last name. I get that asked all the time. They're like, I've just got to ask you, we're at an event or something. You know, that name, where did you acquire it or where did you find it? I'm like, my birth certificate. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was there. So I tell everybody, you know, don't try and pronounce it properly. Just say Tarazona. T with Arizona with a T in front of it, and that's really how I've pronounced it most of my life. But it's Tarazona. My last name actually comes from an old Spanish town still there in Spain, okay? Tarazona. And it's a very old medieval town, beautiful, beautiful town. But that's where we originate from. And my dad thinks it's like the coolest thing in the world. He's like, oh man, I don't like things. Okay, yeah. Pops, we in the new world now. Yeah. Let's get with it. So, but it is a beautiful, Tarazona, Spain is beautiful. And the region out there is gorgeous.
Okay, so let's see. I'll go back down some other questions here. What else we got? there's another good, Mr. Bassard again. He says, cigars often change a great deal within the first month or two after being rolled as they dry and finish up fermentation. Yet we see cigar guys smoking prototypes all the time. So how difficult is it to learn the art of knowing what the cigar is going to taste like when it's ready?
You know what? It's not so much difficult. Okay. But it comes with, you know, training, you learn. I mean, it's a craft. Okay, let's give. Okay, so to say that it's difficult, it'd be difficult for somebody that hasn't done it.
Sure.
Okay, and can't forecast. I'm using the word forecast very loosely and very generically. Okay, to say, okay, well, this is what it's going to be. That's where Carlos comes in big time. Okay, I can tell Carlos about blend once it's already done and all that. That's not my specialty. Okay, that's where Carlos comes in big time. I mean, that's why he stays down there. You know. You'll always know Carlos is going to be one of three places. Okay. He's either going to be down in Nicaragua or you're going to come back. He's going to be over in Naples, you know, kicking him with the sun, or you're going to be in the Bahamas fishing. Okay. He doesn't, the latter two is not too much, as much as he'd like.
Yeah, but where do I get that job?
Yeah, I know, right? but really, it's not so much, you know, it's a learned, you know, trade, craft, whatever you want to call it. So he's the experience that comes with it. So I don't think it's really difficult. I mean, if you've done it, I mean, if if I went to a mechanic and I said, well, how difficult is it, you know, dude's been doing this for what, 20 years? Well, for him, changing brakes is nothing. You show me the diagram of what to do, I'd be like, oh, you know what, Doss? Here's your $800, bro. Change all my brakes. All I know is they have to be ceramic. I don't know. So really it's the same way. You know, the experience they have, okay, I don't know how else to put it. It's just, you know, it's a learned skill, okay? No different, okay, I'm drinking rum right here, and Zaya, I guess. All I know is I'm not too crazy about, you know, the fact that now it comes from Barbados instead of Guatemala. That's all I can tell you about this rum, okay? Ever since they've changed it. But you know, whoever the blender was, you know, this is what they do every day, you know, when they have a batch and all, to taste and say it's off or not. I don't know if I could really, you know, I don't have that experience. I couldn't do it. What they do. I mean, they've got a, you know, they've got a nose for it. They've got a palate for it. It's, you know, it's a spirit. So they've learned it and they've been around it. And I'm sure they didn't become a master, you know, blender and a taste of rum overnight. It takes time, a lot of skill behind it. Okay. So I think that's what I like about cigars and whether it's cigars, chocolates, spirits, wine, it all comes in the gastronomy part of it.
Gastronomy. It's a good word.
You know, when I look at, and I do, cigars, we're all going to be going to the trade show in a few months. Okay. We're all going to be in Las Vegas, of course. We're going to go to some kick-ass restaurants. I mean, let's be real. We are, I mean.
They've got some good food.
Yes. I mean, the restaurants are, you know, top-notch, unbelievable ones. Go to Sushi Samba. Okay. That's where I'll be. I'll be taking a bunch of dudes there. The reason I love taking people to Sushi Samba, because for me, out of all restaurants I've ever been to, it is the most akin to what I do as a cigar manufacturer. When you go to Sushi Samba, they're not just giving you food. They're not serving you dinner. They are trying your palate. Okay. It is, for me, an orgy of a gastronomical experience that you'll ever imagine. And what they do to your palate, I believe it's Brazilian, Japanese, and Peruvian fusion. Now we're really pushing things.
Yeah.
Especially for mainstream America. I'm like, hold up, you know, or a Cuban dude like me, give me my black rice and beans, bro, I'm good, you know. But no, but they're really pushing the buck and they're trying my palate. I think that's really what I love about cigars, and that's what I love about, you know, spirits. And I don't care if it's, you know, the peatiest scotch in the world to, you know, the creamiest, you know, most tapioca essence rum in the world. I mean, I love my palate being challenged. Okay. And I'd say with what we do, you know, we challenge the palates of people, you know. And sometimes we put them out of their comfort zone. That doesn't make it a bad cigar or a good cigar. That just makes it very different. And if you like it, great. If you don't, move on. I mean,
well, that's honest, though. But no, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. I'm going to take a quick second, let the guys know they're in the chat room that we are going to do a little giveaway today. We've got a few samplers that Eddie's been nice enough to give to you guys. So I'll pick some winners here at some point. It's pretty much just going to be random. So if you guys are lucky, you win. Logan usually handles it, man. I'm telling you, the stuff I take for granted. Okay, let me go down some more of these questions here that we've got. Let's see. What's your biggest goal for 2013? Professionally.
No, I know. You know, I think we've been on the right track. You know, we, as a boutique, we don't go to open, you know, 20, 30 stores in a week. I love, you know, the steady pace. But I think if anything, really educated more folks about our cigars. Okay. I, cause we're goals that we're talking about. I mean, there can be several different ones, economics and all that. I'm not trying to, I like the course we're on. I really do. I mean, you've been reviewed us before. And even since then, the first time we were on till now, our growth has been phenomenal. And it amazes me, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of hard work in it. And maybe I don't always see it as hard work because, you know, we really are having a lot of fun doing this. Yeah. I tell y'all. Guys, I mean, what I do is too much fun. It's just so awesome. But to have that steady growth, and I want to get to as – I guess one of my biggest goals really is to get to as many of our shops as possible. And I love meeting our customers. I know that if we do what we're supposed to do as a company, we put out – first and foremost, we put out a great product. Second of all, we foster our consumer, or really the brick and mortar first, I mean, I'm huge on brick and mortars. You know, I'll support them all day long. And then meeting our customers, believe me, if we do that, everything else is going to follow. The success is going to follow. Okay? But there's no greater joy I have than when we have an event. The other day we were out in what's this place called? This little place.
Seems like you have an event every day.
We do. So shops out there, if you want to pick us up, just to let you know, we will be having an adventure store. That's a plus. No. But we were in Columbia, Maryland the other day. Columbia, Pennsylvania. Genuine Tobacco. Awesome shop. Steve managed everything. And nice size operation they have out there. I was, for me, a Miami kid, we were in the middle of nowhere. Okay? That's just for me. But it amazed me for such a small town, the draw and how many customers we were able to meet. And one of the greatest satisfactions I get the next day or a week later or a week and a half, you know, hey, Eddie, you know, this is pretty much an email. Hey, I want to thank you for coming out. A customer, not even Steve himself, none against Steve, you know, Steve is awesome. I mean, having Steve on board, and I'm glad we're very thankful and gracious that, you know, he's brought us in. But when the customers send you an email directly thanking you for coming out, we know, thank you for coming out to our small little town. We know it's out there. That for me is complete joy. Okay. And not just happiness. Happiness for me, that's just an emotional joy. So thankful that these folks really did appreciate, you know, having us there, not for us, but for them. Okay, and I love receiving emails like that, and we get it every week. Hey, thanks for coming out here. That's a fun part of my job. So I think my whole thing is our biggest goal is just to get the name brand out. Okay, and I mean for those of y'all listening, no, I was just saying, but I mean go to your local brick and mortar. I'm a big believer and supporter in brick and mortars. I think without the B&Ms. You cannot go into a humidor. Nothing against the online retailers, you know, big cats and all that. But you cannot walk in to your computer. If anybody out there can actually literally walk into their laptop, okay, I swear to you, I'll give you a box. I mean, I want to see this. No, but your local B&M is so important. You know, you go in there, you could see, you could ask your local tobacconist, you know, tell me about this blend. Tell me about that blend. What about this company? I heard they can not say place you, but they can pinpoint you in the right direction what you need. Okay. And for me, that is just so important. You know, just support your local B&M all day. Or like a friend of ours says, all day, every day. Never mind, inside joke. If anybody's listening, know what I'm talking about.
You're preaching to the choir for me. I'm a big brick and mortar guy. I've got, I'm lucky enough to have choices out where I am, you know, as far as places that I can go. And oddly enough, out here in California, you can't even smoke in a few of them, which is kind of weird. But, yeah.
Hey, knock on wood.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no kidding.
I'm surprised some of those companies haven't left. I gotta stop. I'm getting political here.
We already said we weren't gonna do that.
Yes, we did.
Eddie and I got into a political fight before the show, so we decided we wouldn't. No, I'm just kidding. So let's see. We got a question from
Talking
Zach.
Talking about the Second Amendment.
No. Yeah. We got a moving on. We got a question from Zach. And I think this is kind of a question you could really ask anybody in the business, and it's it's really up to each individual preferences. What do you think is the best humidity and temperature to age cigars in? So,
you know, I've always looked at it on read. I always say 70-70, okay? But, okay, that's just me.
It's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, but I've heard seen people go as low as 68 to 70 to as high as 72. But here's a thing. Let's take Dallas, Texas this year, or, you know, that part of Texas. They've probably had more of a winter than most, well, a lot of the country has, I mean, it really should. It's been cold. With that amount of cold, you get, there's dryness, okay? Yeah, it's common sense in the sense that when they go, if you run during the summer, you know, or at least during the winter, drink a lot of fluids, okay? Mm-hmm. The atmosphere is drier, okay? You dehydrate faster during the winter if you're a runner and all that. So really, it's not just 70-70, because even if it's 70-70 during the dead winter, and if it's cold, you know, your humidor is going to need, you know, to be refilled. I mean, quite often. Okay, maybe I don't know. I mean, depending on the quality of your humidor or whatever it is, I tell everybody, dude, just use a Rubbermaid Tupperware. You know, it's simple, it's safe. You know the seals. I mean, it is what it is. But 70-70 for me. But then you have to take into account where you're at, especially during the wintertime, or at least during the colder months. Okay, because it is drier, and that being the case, you know, your cigars, you know, it'll affect your cigars. So just being vigilant, you know, on that. I'd make sure I kept the, whether you use, the gels or, you know, the pour, whatever it is, mm-hmm. make sure it's refilled as much as possible. And it's, takes a bit of work, but I guess, I don't have to worry. I've got a huge old refrigerator, you know, I just, hundreds of boxes are in there, and we just turn, I mean, it's on 24 hours a day.
What's the address?
13117 Northwest 107th Avenue.
We'll follow you on Instagram or something. You'll tag one of those from your house. We're all gonna.
It's not a secret. It's on my business cards and it's on the website. It's on Facebook. Hialeah Gardens, Florida 33018. You know.
So if you're in the neighborhood, knock on Eddie's door. He'll hook you
up. Right. During the wintertime is when I think you should really be vigilant with your humidors. Not so much during the summer. You can be a little bit more flexible and liberal. But in wintertime, dry.
That's good advice. Good advice. let's see. What else we got here? This is kind of company specific. Zach's got another question. It says, how many reps do you have, sales reps do you have, and how do you choose them?
Two. Okay, that's it. And I mean,
so you choose them very carefully.
Yes. No, you know, here's my thing. I keep a lot of things, not so much information about our company, but when we go out there, and I'm very hands-on. Very hands-on. So before we even go into a shop, I will have spoken with, you know, the owner, the manager, whoever wants to bring us in, or whoever, you know, we're targeting. That's very important to me. I really want to get to know who we're doing business with. And just because, you know, it's good that relationship. Okay. So to say I'm picky, would I like more reps? Yes, I would. Okay. But, it'd have to be the right one. And I think this is any business.
Okay.
I've been in management, you know, it's my whole life, college and after college and all. People, if you're a rep and if you want to work in the industry, you have to take ownership of your territory. You have to believe and buy into it, okay? You've got to be a mini or that pseudo entrepreneur in your territory. And you have to have all the confidence in the world that we've given you to go out there and say, yeah. And I think that's what that's what I look for. I look for somebody that takes ownership, okay, executes, and knows that, you know, we've empowered them to, hey, you're speaking on my behalf. Or any, I mean, whatever company, like I said, I don't care what the company is, brand. Hey, look, you're our face. You represent this. So, and if there are any problems, you know, do what you have to do then, especially if it's a pressing issue, then get back in touch with us. You know, we'll handle the fallout afterwards. Okay. But I really think, that's for me, that's what I look for. Someone that is confident with their abilities. They know they're going to get out there, but also, in this business, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of traveling, a lot of road time. It is very simple. And I was told this by my old managing partner. You know, I graduated from college, from a job and all. He goes, Eddie, life is simple, not easy. Okay. The whole concept of getting out there, making a cigar, bringing it to market, it's a very simple concept. It's not easy. It's still hard work. But I don't mind it because for me, at least the benefits, okay? And the biggest one for me, I'm a people person. One of the biggest benefits is just who are able to meet, for crying out loud. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I care less if they're a struggling college student all the way to, you know, it's Senator Allen. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't care what party he is. I mean, that's still centered around there. I mean, that for me is it's a joy with my job. I mean, it's a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Or you get a random text from some big time musician, dude. I had your cigars. Kick ass, bro. Kick ass. I'm like, yep, okay, kick ass. Thanks. So it really is a lot of fun. The other day I was able to meet Mayor Giuliani. Well, hot damn. I'm like, hell, I'm going to go take a picture with the dude. No, but it's fun. It's fun.
That's the thing. If you follow, if you guys follow Eddie on Instagram or on Twitter or on Facebook, you're just going to get bombarded with photos of Eddie with this guy, Eddie with this guy. You're taking pictures with everybody. I love it. I mean, every day it's, there's at least one photo every day, it seems like.
Well, people got to understand this, and I think I speak for many of us in the industry. This is not just our job. This is something we, just like, you know, you guys out there, it's part of our lifestyle. For me, it is very much part of my lifestyle. I love cigars. Okay, only two things I really love more: college football and politics. Okay, I kid you not. But interestingly enough, when it comes to sports and politics, you still have cigars, so I have a problem with it. I mean, it's there. But it's part of my lifestyle. And I was thinking, probably a few weeks ago, I started thinking, what would my life be without cigars? Not that it's not the cigar. It's the relationships I've come to, you know, to have over the last few years, several years, now last decade. The people I've been able to meet, have become good friends. Okay. Now we go on, you know, we'll go on vacation with each other, you know, friends and all that. We'll go hang out, or, you know, I go and say, hey, Eddie, come on. We're having, you know, I land in Hawaii. True story. I'm landing in Hawaii. Customer of ours, you know, they're going to a wedding. Okay. Not just any wedding, a luau wedding. I'm like thinking, all right, dude. He goes, hey, come on. Hey, brah, you want to come? Well, I'm going to a wedding. Well, no, man, it's all, they don't care. That's awesome to me. And I'm sure if I worked, you know, some little office or something like that, I probably wouldn't have that kind of, you know, experience. So I love my job. It's not, and I really don't even look at it as a job. I mean, yeah, I got put food on my table. I've got responsibilities and all. But this is one hell of an occupation to have. Okay. I really wouldn't trade it for the world. I mean, the only experience I wish I could have, I mean, really, is I told my son this. He goes out there in his games. He's out there in Lane Stadium, and 70-some-odd thousand fans are just cheering. I mean, going crazy. And I think Virginia Tech fan, they lose it that day. It's like nobody's normal. I mean, they've lost it. I mean, they're so just rabid fans, which is awesome. I really would like to experience. I swear I would. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'd probably say like, oh goodness, we're screwed. If I'm the quarterback, we're screwed. I mean, like, but no. I mean, there are certain things, but I love my job. I mean, it's great, and I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, I can. You know, we do this. We've been doing this show for a while, and you know, we have guests on pretty much every week. So I've talked to a lot of people in the industry. This is the second time we've had you on. And everybody loves their job. Everybody loves what they're doing because this isn't the kind of industry you get in to make a quick buck. No. I mean, you're in this because there's a level of passion there. I don't think it comes through more energetically from anybody than you. You are easily the most energetic person that we've had on the show. It's infectious to be around people like – I love being around people like that. Because it motivates you to, I mean, whatever your field is, whatever my field is, it motivates you to do better, to be around people like that.
The people I've come to meet, you know, you said it. If you're trying to make a quick buck, wrong business. This isn't a get rich quick scheme or anything. You might as well do your Ponzi scheme, live happy for about 10, 15 years, go to jail. I mean, really, that's it. But for me, like I said earlier, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you do it right and you foster it and you work it right, all you know, that financial benefit, it's going to come. Because truth be told, if I could get back all the money that I've put into this, oh, I'd be so, so good. I mean, I'd probably be doing something else. I'd still be working for myself. If anything, I would be a mark. I get told by everybody, Eddie, You should be in New York marketing with some big firm, and they're probably right. I mean, the things up here, it's scary sometimes. I mean, I only laugh about it sometimes. But truth be told, I like this because I truly get to be in front of our customers, okay, our consumers, the people that really matter to us, okay. If I worked for Ford, okay, at corporate, who am I in front of? You know, I've got, you know, shareholders to answer to. You know, I got to worry. You know, you're not going to have that relationship. It's not the same way. In this industry, the people we meet become, genuinely, they do become part of our lives. And you can't, maybe you can, but if you could lie about that and smile and kick it back and, you know, shoot the shit with the next dude and fake it, then you're good. You're really good. Okay. For me, I like that. I mean, we get to meet, you know, people from so many different backgrounds, you know, economic scale. It doesn't matter what it is, what they do, and it's fun. I mean, heck, one of my good friends that I've come to meet, you know, oh my gosh, I think something to screw with him sometimes, but I love hanging with him. He's just so much fun, you know. So I wouldn't trade this occupation for anything. So it's worth every bit.
Yeah, what's that the old adage? If you do something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
I don't know who said that. Somebody said it.
Somebody did.
I can't take credit for it.
If I would have said it, I would have trademarked that bad boy. Yeah. Oh my gosh!
I'm sure somebody did because I've heard it. So you never know. So we've had John here for a while. What I want to do is we'll announce the winners real quick. I'm going to pick a couple of guys here that have. That have really just been here the whole time. We'll go with Zach Mello is a winner, and Cigar Arsonist. We'll pick both of those. How about that?
That's what I'm talking about.
Sound good? All right. So
Cigar Arsonist, I know him.
Oh, if you know him, maybe.
I know.
Maybe
no. He's good. He's good.
So okay, yeah. Here, guys, I'm gonna put the my email address in there.
No, I was thinking, you know, it was funny before the interview, I was thinking, no, what kind of questions did I get? What are you listening to on your iPad? What was the last thing you listened to your iPhone lately?
Yeah, what are you listening to?
Well, actually, the last song I was listening to, my favorite band. Counting Crows, baby.
Really? Okay.
I know he's out there from your neck of the woods. I mean, right down the road. Adam Durst.
When I was at Cal, I met that guy a bunch of times, and I can't think of his name right now.
But Adam Durst.
Yeah, the guy with the white guy with the dreads.
Yep. I went to my brother took me when I was in college. He took me down we drove down North Carolina, and going down some back roads, and we were going to Counting Crows. Counting Crows was performing with Live. Oh my gosh!
Wow, I'm in high school again.
No, exactly. I mean, because I remember when Mr. Jones and me came out. I was like a senior, 1993 or something like that. So we're driving down, and small country road, and I see this little buggy, and I look. Now I've never seen this in my life. And I go, and I look at my brother. I'm like, "Are you serious?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, you even have Amish down here in North Carolina." I haven't seen it since. What? 2 weekends ago, we're driving, going to the event in Columbia. For the first time in like almost, I don't know, 18 years, we're going down the back road in Pennsylvania and all that, and Lawrence and I were just driving. I'm like, "Oh, get the hell out of here. This is so cool." And you see the little horse and buggy. But I waved at this guy this time. I'm like, and he just looked at me like, I'm like, "Oh, okay."
Well, I looked at you with some scorn, huh?
I'm like thinking, "All right." But no, I that's why I love traveling the country. I mean, but yeah, Counting Crows, my favorite band. I know they're a little bit melancholic, and it sounds like he's whining and "woe is me." But if you really listen to his words, the dude's got a point. I mean, life can be pretty hellish at times.
Yeah.
I still want to know who Maria is. Okay, in all the songs, Maria, I'm like thinking, you know what? She better have been the love of your life, bro. Because if I mean,
that's funny. I never would have guessed that. I mean, you could have given me 100 guesses, and I probably never would have guessed Counting Crows.
Counting Crows would be my first one. Then I like there's a band, a Cuban band, Orishas. Okay, I like them, and to be honest with you, Plies. Now we're getting a little bit raw, a little bit hardcore rap. I grew up in inner city Miami, and of course in Miami we get a lot of I grew up in Carroll City, so Rick Ross, Flo Rida, all that from the neighborhood and all. But I think I like, because if you ever meet, I mean, those that do end up really like meeting me, hanging out, I'm as frank as you get, what you see is what you get. It's the real deal. And I like them. And Counting Crows, they're just telling like it is. I mean, I really think that, Adam's going to commit suicide one day. I mean, when you hear a song, it's just like thinking, dude, just pull the plug, dude. If life's that bad, let me just get it over with. I'm not condoning, I'm not telling everybody to do that, disclaimer. But it applies, is like that too. I mean, it's just foul. It is what it is. And if you've seen that life or that side of life, you understand where he's coming from, and he's not sugarcoating it. And I think that's what with my job, I like that. You don't sugarcoat. You meet people; it's real. Though I said, if you're faking it with folks, I mean, you got to be really good at it. And that's what I think my job allows me to be me.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I could go to Middle America, and Middle America still lets Eddie be Eddie. Okay. It's beautiful, because I don't want to be anything else. I just want to be me.
Okay, movies.
Oh, okay. Let's start off with, it's not cliche or anything, but The Godfather.
It's hard to beat perfection.
Right, okay. Moving on from The Godfather, though. So we'll just take that out, because I bet you probably 90% of the viewers right now, they're like, "Oh, yeah, of course, yeah."
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Brooks with Kevin Costner and John Hurt. That is a twisted, serious movie. I've never seen actors, okay, just they put me in a there's a discomfort that they put me. They almost had me believing that being a serial killer was awesome. And then I came to my senses and said, "There's something wrong with these folks."
Yeah, you're creeping me out here a little bit. No, so, I'm not going to come knock on your door.
So, but it was such a great movie, and it's unfortunate that it didn't get, you know, as much attention. But those two guys really, they struck a chord with me with a, you know, it was disturbing, but it was so, it was just a great, great movie. I love the performance in that. I love watching movies. If any other given day, if I'm alone, you know what I love doing is going to the movies, sitting. It could be alone. I don't need company. It's okay. And for me, it's I don't know. It sucks me in. It's so much. I mean, just so much fun. I remember when I was a kid, we'd go to Disney World, okay, and when they'd go to MGM Studios in Orlando, they ask for participants in the Indiana Jones thing in the naval battle. Guess who's the first dude raising his hand?
That doesn't shock me.
So they have you sign this long form disclaimer. You know, if you lose your leg, your life, your head, you know, we're not responsible. I'm like, bring it on, baby. You know what? It's a war scene. If it becomes real, I could live with it. Okay. It is so much fun. I love movies. I just absolutely love movies. One of the other reasons I like The Godfather, it's not so much because, you know, a lot of folks, oh, yeah, what's up, bro? You know, it's really about principles. When you look at it, it is a very old Roman the mafia – is very much patterned after the old Roman hierarchy and times where, you know, there are consequences for your actions, or, you know, loyalty means something. Okay. And I think a lot of people, right or wrong, the principles, okay, I would respect the guy that still stood on his principles, even though they're all skewed and screwed up. But if he stood by it, I would probably respect him more than the guy that, you know, tries to come out straight lace and all that. But yeah, you're a good dude, but you know, who you gonna sell out next, bro? I mean, so for me, I think that's what I took away from The Godfather. It's neat, and the ending scene of part one. Oh my gosh, he's like, I'm gonna cap everybody's ass. It's over. You know, you screwed my daddy. You tried to kill him. You know, No, I'm just kidding. But. But I love that movie, Mr. Brooks.
You know what? I might have to watch it. I'm not a big Kevin Costner guy. If he doesn't have a baseball, then I don't think it's going to be a very good movie. But I'll check it out. And then
what was interesting about this? It didn't rely on Kevin Costner alone.
That's probably a good thing.
It was a balance, and it was away from, you know, the normal roles that he does. And I think that's probably another reason too. But he was just, you know, a nice, you know, a businessman, successful, you know, very waspy, clean cut kind of guy. No disrespect to anybody out there. I'm just saying what it is, okay? And so the stereotypical, you know, successful middle American, well to do male, okay, white male. Oh, but did he have a secret? That was the disturbing part, because nobody knows. Well, he's a serial killer, and all of a sudden he pops up again. And you're like, okay. There's something just very screwy about this that even I, oh wow, hold up. I gotta stop it. I'm like, I gotta walk away from this for a bit and put me on it. But, I don't like too many movies that are too supernatural that okay. They get, at least where my beliefs are concerned, too real. Nah, I ain't doing that. yeah, that's not happening. Let's see what else. Somebody I'd like to meet, Ryan Danger. Of Danger Cigars.
Really?
Kid you not. Okay, he doesn't know. Okay, he does now. But, dude, anybody that's got the balls and the chutzpah to do what he does, dude, I mean, and I consider myself a brave guy. but what he does, I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, I'd hate to be on a Ducati and all of a sudden be flying off one or something. I mean, I hope that, you know, I know it's dangerous. I mean, serious. I mean, but that's exciting. That right there. So I actually think I will be meeting him this weekend at the DC Tweedo. So I'm excited about that. So
you're going to the DC Tweedo.
Yep.
And that is, so what are the date and the location on that? Obviously,
it's the. Yeah, well, the dates that you have, I'm actually, and I've got their website right here. So, I'll tell everybody. Event highlights, well, it's going to be for Friday and Saturday. And this who's all attending, it's pretty impressive what they've done. It's for charity. Okay, it's a great cause. And what you have is the shops that are participating. You've got Chesapeake Cigars out of Maryland. You've got the Cigar Connection out of Arlington, Virginia. Civil Cigar Lounge in Washington, D.C. Tabacology in Manassas, Virginia. And W. Curtis Draper out in Bethesda. The manufacturers that will be there, of course, you have CLE Asylum, Crown Heads, CYB. I'm actually excited because Jose Blanco is going to be there. What a sweetheart of a man. If you've ever met just sweet dude, he's it. But I'm glad he's going to be there. We have Dante Cigars, Drew Estate, Edgar Hoyle Cigars, Primera Mundo, Emilio Cigars, Gran Obano, so George Rico, Gurkha, Humidor Notes. Here's a little bit of marketing thing for my friend. But if you guys have not, if you've not come across Humidor Notes, if you don't know what Humidor Notes is, my opinion, and being around, let's see, 20, so last almost 23 years in this business. I'm older than I look, trust me. Humidor Notes has got to be one of the best cigar journals I've come across. Okay, hands down, not kidding. I mean, if it wasn't, I wouldn't be saying this. And I mean, just I love it. Okay, not only that, okay, Cirillo, great guy. So, but they'll be there. Olla de Nicaragua, okay, La Flor, La Palina, Miami Cigars, Barry's coming up, baby. Barry's coming up, and we're going to do some damage on the domino table. The domino player. Kid you not, Miami's been good for him. Miami's been very, very good for him. Fred with Nomad Cigars coming in. You got Oliva. Of course, Eddie Ortega with Ortega Cigars. Okay, great guy. You got Perdomo. You got Perdomo. Let's see. Of course, Skip Martin with Roma Craft, Arizona, and John Walsh of Viva Republica. Okay.
Wow. So that's quite a lineup.
I mean, great lineup. I'm excited. It is our first year to participate in. We were asked by Lawrence had asked me last year, hey, would you like to participate? This was right over the summer. Something like that. And I'm like thinking, yeah, sure. Tell me what to do. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
And, of course, fate would have it that Lawrence is now, of course, with us, which is he's great. I mean, just a great guy. I mean, awesome folks. But the guys from B&B Cigar Club, I really got to know them over the Chattanooga tweet up. Okay. That's where I met them down in Chattanooga. And it was a lot of fun. So, but cool. I figure it's going to be neat. And then there's they're taking the bus. I saw the bus. Unbelievable. Really nice. Yeah. No, and that pole right there in the middle is not a stripper pole, everybody.
So mm-hmm.
You're saying, you're like saying, yeah, sure it isn't. Mm-hmm. But, and then, of course, we'll be at, I guess in the evening, heading over to a Civil Cigar Lounge, which just opened up in D.C. Wonderful place. I mean, if you haven't visited, okay, I mean, do visit. If you're in the D.C. area, it's worth visiting.
So. Yeah, so the long and short is if you're in the area, make it out there. That's going to be a good event. And that's this weekend, right?
This weekend, this coming weekend. It's cool. Very cool. So it's good. If you're looking for rooms at the embassy, forget about it. I was a little bit late in getting my reservation, so I'm going to be staying at the Marriott.
Uh-oh.
A little bit down the road, but that's all right. My fault. No,
that's okay. Come pick you up.
No, it's only 0.3 miles away, so I just walk it.
Oh, that's a quick little jog over. You'll be fine. Yeah. Make a sweat.
So, but yeah, we're looking forward to it and looking forward to hanging out with the guys and, some of the folks I haven't met. So that's always a neat thing. And then, for all these folks coming in, and of course it is a charity event. So that's always good. That's always good.
Cool. Well, Eddie, we've kept you here for a little bit longer than I promised. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Right.
I will give you one movie though. If you like, kind of a off, not necessarily mainstream movie, mm-hmm. but it's got great acting and it's a little bit creepy. The Machinist.
Dude, I will never watch that again.
It's creepy, right?
twisted. Okay, I'm on Netflix, so I'm watching Netflix, and Machinist was just picked up on Netflix.
Yeah, that's what we're watching.
Dude, screw that.
It's creepy as hell.
Creepy. Okay, folks, listen to Robbie here. If you've not watched Machinist, watch it, but understand it's going to push. It's unbelievable for movies, for me. That's why I love them going to. They, certain movies really do just move you in such a way. It touches certain senses. And The Machinist, for me, it was, there was something repulsive in every way. And it was crazy. What's his name? The guy's name in The Machine?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. He made three movies about that time that really were all the same way, very moving, somewhat disturbing, but very thought-provoking. American Psycho.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, let's be real. There's nothing good and normal about that movie. It is it is a very twisted, very, you know, disturbing movie. The Machinist and Equilibrium.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest with you. I don't know how he still lives with himself. No, I'm just kidding.
I haven't seen Equilibrium. I've seen it on there, but I haven't watched.
But the fact that these movies have created such a cult following. I mean, the same actor, three movies, and in every movie, he's different. I mean, it just
yeah.
The genre, the persona, everything's just different. But the fact that, I gotta be honest with you, the dude's a kick-ass, I mean, actor to begin with. But the scripts that he chose, I mean, I think I'd be in therapy right now. I really do after doing that.
When you think about it, that's basically the beginning of his career. And we're getting way off topic. We're not talking about cigars at all anymore.
No, that's all right. I mean,
those are risky choices to make early on in your career, especially with The Machinist. He weighed like 80 or 90 pounds.
That was,
and he was just unbelievable. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching. It's creepy.
I saw it, and you know what? I got my fill with it, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. No rewatches or anything.
The only movie that I feel like that about, like the way that you feel, is Requiem for a Dream. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Haven't seen that.
That's it's an interesting, it's like a slow motion train wreck of how life can just completely fall apart. If you want to watch something it's like drug induced and all that kind of stuff, but it's I can't watch that. It's too stressful.
You remember Man Without a Face? I don't know if you've seen that it was with Mel Gibson. Okay.
He was all burnt or something like that?
Yeah. That movie ticked me off. It was a great movie till the end. I hate movies that it's great. You're watching it and all of a sudden when it ends, it's like, oh the hell. You know what? Let me see the producer and director. I really do. I love movies. For me, it's an escape. You know, nothing to be on the road. Everybody has their thing. And for me, it's either, you know, playing my video games on the Xbox right now. Of course, it's Halo 4. You know, I could be on that for, you know, 4 or 5 hours at night. I'm like, leave me alone. I feel like House of Cards. Kevin Spacey's playing his video games. That's how I feel like. Here's a powerful congressman, and he just, no, I'm good. This is de-stressor. So that's me. But no, I think we all need an escape.
Sure.
Okay. And for me, whatever it is, I think as long as it's healthy, you know, and it helps you out, take that escape, whatever it is. For me, I never let the cigars be my escape because for cigars is a passion of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I never escape with cigars, and always if I feel like a de-stressor, in the sense of to relax is different for me than to de-stress.
Sure.
I won't light a cigar. And people are like, my friends ask me, dude, relax with a cigar. No, that's de-stressing. And I never perverse my cigars. Okay. And not mice. I'm not talking about Terrazona cigar. I'm like any cigar I'm smoking. I never perverse and put the cigar in that situation. My cigars for me are to relax and enjoy the time I have, not to get away from something that I just, you know, get away or anything like that. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me in my life. I love to enjoy trade show. You rarely see me relaxing and smoking a cigar. It's tough. I love to enjoy cigars. And it's so hard to just enjoy the cigar with all the hustle and bustle at the trade show. So once the trade show is done, everybody leaves the floor. We probably only have about like 30 minutes or something that they let us stay on the floor. I will light a cigar once everybody's gone. That's not a de-stressor for me. I really am relaxed. I'm like thinking, whew, I got a half hour before the madness starts again with all the parties, the dinners and all. I'm like, okay, everybody leaves. Okay, and I'm the only one at our booth. Are you okay? No, dudes. I'm good. Go on back. Go shower up. Go do what you got to do. For me, cigars, that's my relaxing time. That's my personal. It's an intimate time for me. And I get that a lot. I don't see you smoke cigars much. Oh, you have no idea. Okay, but if I can't enjoy it, okay, for me, I want to enjoy cigars. I really, really do. So anyway, there you go. But thank you very much for having us on. I mean, yeah, we can go on and go on. I'm a talker, bro. So I could just go on and on. Thank you guys very much for having us on. You know, sorry somebody out in India.
Yeah, Logan missed out.
No, I know. I like that name too.
Yeah, you do. That's true.
Yeah.
You know what? The last time you were on, I think Logan was in India as well. That's funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Now that I think about it.
You know, for those of y'all who don't know, and we haven't really said it, but my son is Logan Thomas. I'm saying this with pride, as a dad with pride. My son is Logan Thomas, the starting quarterback at Virginia Tech. And so, you know, I'm a little bit proud about that. He's down in Fort Lauderdale. I was actually supposed to be in Miami for a few days this week. And they left Saturday from Blacksburg, Virginia. And he sends me a picture of the Intercoastal Waterway. He goes, "Hey, how's this look?" I'm like, dude, don't send me another picture. Just leave it alone. No, so they're down there on their spring break and all that, but just a great kid and, you know, a good family. So it's anyway.
No, yeah, we didn't talk about we got into that last time. But we didn't really get into it this time. So
no, it's all right. I mean the bragging part I love. You know, yeah, I guess as a parent. And parents out there. Brag about your kids. I mean, just dote them and don't spoil them. I mean, but really just support them in all they do. Okay, you know, my son's success, and not football, I'm not talking about that, but his success is more important than my success. Okay, and anything that I do. I know that if he goes out there, he's successful. You know, that's more rewarding to me than anything I will ever do in my life. I mean, honestly. That's all I want out of him.
Spoken like a true father.
Yeah, true. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Again, we appreciate it. We really appreciate taking the time. We covered a little bit of cigars. We covered we got some movies. You're a Counting Crows fan. We didn't talk about the dogs. We didn't talk about your dogs this time. We got the new new edition.
Well, just on the shirt that we come out, just so everybody knows, our swag, okay, all that swag that we sell, okay, and most of it is actually for, okay, the dogs and all that. It was interesting. Broward County, the county above us, just tried to make it illegal to have pit bulls, even though the state says you can't do it. And thank goodness that the piece of legislation failed. Okay, I mean, I really don't. I mean, pit bulls are someone. I don't care if it's pit bull or whatever. I'm against breed specific rules. I mean, take Shorty Rossi. He also has his own, you know, he's in the industry and all that. You see everything he's doing. We're just against breed specific laws. If you're going to outlaw dogs, then might as well outlaw all of them. Okay. Not just one. Now, God forbid that happened. But, it's just unfortunate that I can't take my dog back home with me and he's got to stay up in Virginia. So.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but our swag goes with that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. And that's all available on your website.
Facebook. You'll see it a lot more on Facebook because they go quick because we come out with additions and all that. It's always changing up. So on Facebook, Facebook and Instagram mostly.
Okay. Cool.
So there you go.
All right, Eddie. Again, thanks. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
We appreciate it, and I'll look for you in July.
Yes, sir.
We'll see you there.
Take care, guys. Thanks. Okay,
thanks, guys, again for checking out another Cigar Chat. You can find us next week, or no, actually later this week. We've got Roma Craft, I think, on Thursday, but that might get changed.
Yeah, it might get.
Skip's traveling, so that we might have to change the date on that. So I'll keep this posted.
I was going to say, I think Skip might be coming back from Nicaragua on that one. And then Friday, he's got to be in DC.
We booked Mike. We booked the date with Mike, and I got an email from Skip the other day. He says, I don't know about that date, so we'll see. But so it's kind of up in the air, but we'll make
it. He's been down there for a while, man. But I love the pictures he's been sending. Absolutely love them.
I'm telling you, if you don't follow all these guys on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you're missing out because it's.
You know, really, I'd say everybody follow us on Instagram. Well, it's Terrazona, like for us, it's Terrazona Cigars across the board on all the social media, except for Square, it's Eddie Terrazona. But it really is neat following, you know, even my contemporaries. I mean, it's just so much fun. I mean, I just love it. So do follow these guys.
Yeah, it's you can kind of live vicariously for those of us who don't get to take all these kids and all that. So, but again, thanks guys for all the support. We appreciate it. Eddie, have a good night, and
thank you.
We'll see you in July. Take care, brother.
Bye bye.